Take a break before Christmas. This morning we're going to do a review of the book of Acts. And as I spent time thinking about the book of Acts, I realized that in conjunction with Christmas and the new year coming up, that the book of Acts was all about new beginnings. New beginnings for people. And so this morning I'm going to talk about some of the new beginnings that happened in the book of Acts. And the first new beginning that happened was the disciples were faced with life without Jesus physically present. And you might think, well, that's okay. When you read that, and that doesn't sound like a bad thing, but the reality is, he was no longer there to answer their questions. He was no longer there to settle the disputes that were going on or the differences of opinions. He was no longer there to physically touch. And so for them, there was a time period between then and when the Holy Spirit comes. We don't know the length of time. But there is a time period. And so for them, it was a new beginning. They had to figure out how to begin to live without Jesus physically present in their midst. And then the Holy Spirit indwells them, and it's a great time. But it is a new beginning because they have to learn how to deal and respond and understand the Holy Spirit. Difficult time for all of the disciples. And then when we look at Peter, he's going through those things. But if you have read anything in the scriptures before about Peter, you realize that after he is indwelt with the Holy Spirit, Peter is really different. And he has to adjust to those differences. You just might think, oh, well, yeah, he's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's empowering him to do this. But it's new. It's new for Peter. It's a big change. He starts preaching. Just think about that. Peter wasn't known for preaching before Acts 2. He starts preaching in Acts 2. He starts healing people. He starts performing miracles. He starts getting persecuted. Now, there was a little bit of persecution before, but it was always directed at Christ and not at Peter. Now, Peter is beginning this new ministry, this new life, and he's facing persecution. He's imprisoned. He has never done that before. It's all a new beginning, and he has to figure it out. And it's all happening quite quickly. And then, he's never led a church before either, has Peter. So, when people have problems or difficulties, we think of Ananias and Sapphira, and he had to deal with that. He had to deal when the people were complaining that the food wasn't being distributed properly. He had the other disciples with him to help him, but he was still the one leading the church at this point. And then I think the hardest change for Peter came when he had to witness to the Gentiles. And I think that was the hardest because God gave him a vision and coordinated so many things all at once. He had a vision of unclean animals being let down three times and God saying, take and eat, and him saying, well, whoa, 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 I'm a good Jew. I've never done that. He coordinates that with men arriving at the door of Simon's house to say, we've been sent for Peter. He goes to Cornelius's. He starts to speak and the Holy Spirit comes down on the Gentiles. And then, so great. Like, I mean, he must have been higher than a kite in one sense when the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit and he sees God using him and working through him. And what does he do? He has to go back and justify. It's Peter. This is Peter. He has to go back and justify his actions? How many of you like to have to justify your actions when God's told you to do something? And then somebody says, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Why are you doing it? What are you doing? This is Peter. Peter, who's the right-hand man of Jesus. Peter, who's been on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is Peter, who at Pentecost is preaching the sermons. This is Peter, who's performing the miracles. And he goes to the Gentiles, which must have been really tough for him as a Jew. We don't grasp that. We don't come from a society that is segregated the way that society was segregated. At least, I don't grasp that concept. Although I must say, I was thinking this week, I grew up and there was one Chinese girl in our school, but she was always there. It was normal, but I was listening to somebody who said that she was in that similar situation and had been persecuted. And now I think back, I wonder if somebody did ever do that, but from my perspective, I never saw it. So we don't understand how difficult this was for Peter. And then to have to justify it? New beginnings, new learning experiences, all happening rapidly for Peter. And then we think of Stephen. And he is obviously there at Pentecost. He's indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He becomes a deacon. And who thinks? I bet he never ever occurred to him that when he started sharing his faith that he was going to end up a martyr. I bet he didn't. Big changes. There's already been the change in choosing to follow Christ, in choosing to become a deacon, and then he's faced with martyrdom. A new beginning. A new beginning for him in heaven with the Lord. But the process of getting there wasn't easy. And he was the first of the Christians to be martyred. It must have been, in some ways, incomprehensible. Because we think when we are doing God's will that the outcome should always be positive. We do. And you know, in absolute terms, it was positive for Stephen. He went home to be with the Lord. It was positive. But I'm sure in the incident, it didn't feel positive. And that's true for each one of us sometimes. And then we have Philip. He's also there at Pentecost, and he becomes a deacon. And Stephen gets martyred. And Philip's world gets turned upside down. He gets sent to the Samaritans. And we're not, they were really negative in terms of how the Jews looked on them and dealt with them. It was almost, well, it might have even been worse than how they treated the Gentiles. I'm not quite sure. But anyways, he gets sent there. And he has to deal with difficult situations, and then he ends up living not in Jerusalem. Now, he lives in Judea, in Caesarea. He ends up there, but he's not back in Jerusalem, not back in the center of where things are going. Probably at the beginning, he was really isolated as he was there, starting a new church. Really difficult. New beginnings. How many of you like to get uprooted and moved? How many of you I actually don't like small change. I don't mind wholesale change, but give me a little bit of warning. He didn't have any warning when this happened. He gets uprooted and he gets moved and he gets planted somewhere. And as we talked about a few years ago, he bloomed where he was planted. But it wasn't his choice, and it was a new beginning. A new beginning. That's what the book of Acts seems to me to be all about. Everybody getting new beginnings. And then we have Paul. This is a young man with a future. If you were in Jerusalem, you would be saying, this is a potential high priest. This is the man who the leaders love. He's zealous for the Lord. He's well-read. He's knowledgeable. He's studied under one of the greatest teachers, Gamaliel. He's amazing. And he's persecuting the Christians. He's standing and condoning Stephen's stoning. And he heads off to persecute Christians in Damascus. And he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. This is a man who had not faced persecution. He had faced praise and encouragement. And he meets Jesus. And his life changes totally. For the first time, almost immediately, he becomes a Christian. He begins to face persecution. We see it in Damascus, in Jerusalem, and then as he does his witnessing to the Gentiles. And God tells him at the beginning that he's going to have it rough. There's a prophecy that Ananias gives. And he says, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. He goes from the fair-haired boy to the most wanted list, to the top of the most wanted list, everywhere he goes. Not sure how I would have handled that drastic a change in my life in a very short period of time. New beginnings for Paul, and each experience would have been new and different, and he would have had to figure it out. But the prophecy comes true. He does preach to the Gentiles. And what does he face for preaching to the Gentiles? Persecution. What does he face from? He gets to witness to kings and rulers, but he doesn't see whether or not they come to know the Lord. And then he ends up living in prison. I know last week Kathleen said he lived in a house, and he did. But he was under house arrest, which means he was probably chained to a Roman guard. And if he wasn't, there was Roman guards all around there. It wasn't like he was living in a house and could wander around and do whatever he wanted. It was really strictly controlled. And then he actually ends up in a worse prison. New beginnings. New beginnings for the believers, new beginnings for Peter, new beginnings for Stephen and Philip and Paul. And what about Luke? It's not on my list, but what about Luke? Wonder if he ever thought that he would be in a shipwreck, that he would spend his life traveling with Paul. We don't get Luke's story. It really hit me when I was looking at the book of Acts again and thinking, Luke every now and again says we did stuff, so you know he's present, but we never get his story. We don't know how he was saved. We don't know his history or his background, but I can assure you that there were new beginnings for him, especially traveling with Paul. Can you imagine choosing to travel with somebody you know who's going to get persecuted all the time? Everywhere he goes, he's in trouble. Yeah. And my application as I looked through the book of Acts was that each of us have new beginnings. And I said, new beginnings, let the adventure begin. And as we're at Christmas, the biggest adventure for the world began at Christmas, a long time ago, when Jesus chose to come and live, to be born a baby and live. There was new beginnings for Mary. New beginnings for Joseph, new beginnings for the shepherds and the wise men. But in reality, it was new beginning for the whole world. The whole world didn't realize it right then. But absolutely, this is the most momentous moment in history when Christ chooses to be born, to leave his glory in heaven. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, that Christ chose, No, it's Philippians chapter 2. Sorry, I know that. It says, he who being in the very nature, okay, let's do this. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with something, with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Christ knew what lay ahead when he chose to be that baby, born in Bethlehem. A birth that changed the whole world and started new beginnings, gave hope for all those around. In fact, Simeon in, I didn't look up the reference for Simeon, I can quote it, but I want to make sure I get it right. I think it must be in Luke. He had been waiting for Jesus to come because God had told him that he would not die until he had seen the Christ child. And Simeon took Christ in his arms, praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people of Israel." That's who he was. The promises were there from the Old Testament, and Simeon quotes them in the New Testament. Christ's birth, that first Christmas, was such a world change moment. And hardly anybody recognized it. But eventually, everybody recognizes it. We've been told that will happen. And then there's our first Christmas. And you're going to think, oh, I've had lots of first Christmases. But really, the first Christmas anybody really has is after they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because that's when the first Christmas has real meaning to us. That we really understand the celebration of Christ's birthday. We really begin to grasp the fact that he chose to be born as a baby. And Christmas takes on a joy in the midst of the chaos that often accompanies it that we experience for the first time. Karen Ahrens has a song about new beginnings at Christmas. And she talks about the fact that when we accept Christ as our Lord, the first Christmas is really our first Christmas. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would urge you to do this at this time as we consider his birth and remember that his birth precedes his death. But he knew, even as he was being born as a baby, that he would choose to die at Calvary to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And so if you haven't accepted him, I would be really happy to talk to you about how to do that and to encourage you to be able to celebrate your first Christmas. First Christmas with Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then I want to talk about the new year coming up. The new year is going to have a lot of new beginnings for each one of us. I don't know what they're going to be like. I was talking to Eveline this morning, and she was asking us to pray. Her partner, Ray, has dementia, and it has deteriorated rapidly, and things are not looking good. And so it will be, even though he's had it for a while, it will be a new phase for her, a really difficult time. And this week I got a phone call that from one of my children. I can't share the details because nothing's confirmed yet, but it could totally turn their world upside down, which means that my world will be in part turned upside down. And when I got the phone call, I want you to know I said exactly what was right. I was so grateful for the Lord. It wasn't what I was feeling, but I said, oh, I'm so happy for you. I'm really pleased. And inside me, I was saying, Lord, what are you doing? And I got in the car a little while later with Les, and I looked at him and I said, you know what I'm talking about on Thursday morning at Take a Break? He said, no. I said, I'm talking about new beginnings. Let the adventure begin. I didn't handle that internally very well. Externally, God was gracious. But internally, he was saying, big adventure coming, Marjorie. Are you ready? Yeah, right. Big adventure, Lord. Yep. Good thing you're in control because I'm not ready. But the reality is I don't know what the new adventures will be in your life this year. Some of them might be adventures that you choose. I know some of them will be adventures you will not choose. I know that some of them will be fun, and some of them will be difficult, and some of them will be in between. But I think if I have learned anything from the book of Acts, it is that whatever God calls us to walk through, he is there. He is not only there, he is orchestrating what is going on. I know that he will walk beside and with and in and around each one of us, each step of the way that we face in the new year. And some of those steps will be very difficult, as they were for Paul. From the beginning for Paul, it was a rough go. But in the midst of that, he knew God's presence and his love and his peace. And he had the joy of seeing people come to know and love the Lord. And my prayer for you this coming year and over the holiday season is that you will experience that joy of seeing lives changed because you have chosen to walk faithfully with the Lord through whatever he has called you to do. And I don't know what that will be. I know one thing potentially for me, but I know there will be lots of others. Lots of other new beginnings and new challenges. And so this Christmas, let's rejoice in the fact that God has an adventure for our life. Might not be the adventure we choose or the one we want. It might be. You never know. But the thing is, we need to see it as an adventure with God. God guiding and directing us and leading us forward and eventually leading us home to glory. But we need to see it as something that is exciting and joyful, and we need to be like Paul was. He could say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to the Lord, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And let's live that this year, rejoicing in the new beginnings that God brings in our lives and using them to bring glory and honor to his name. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the new beginnings ahead of each one of us. And I pray that as we celebrate Christmas and go into the new year, that we will do so with joy in our hearts and excitement about the adventures ahead, and with the assurance that you will be there each step of the way, and that you will use what we do in obedience to you to bring glory and honor to your name. And that's what we want, Lord. We want our lives to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.